And Lord, your word brings forth. Amen. Today in the Armenian church is a little known and not very famous feast, which is called the Discovery of the Belt of the Mother of God. And it was added into our church calendar in the 18th century by the Catholicos at the time, Simon of Yerevan. And he saw that the Byzantine church had this feast, and he said, we need to have this feast. It's a beautiful feast, a feast dedicated to the belt of Mary. And so he took it and he added it into the church calendar. And it's always on the third Sunday after the Assumption of Mary, always at the end of August. And the tradition, the story goes that the tradition is as follows. St. Thomas received the belt from Mary before she died. And he kept this belt and eventually gave it to very pious Christians in Jerusalem. And for centuries they kept it until finally it appeared in Constantinople. And during the reign of Emperor Leo the Wise, or Leo the Sixth, in about the year 900, his wife Zoe, the Empress, became very, very sick. And as a result, she had a dream, a vision, that the only way she could be healed of her sickness was if the belt of Mary were to touch her, were to be placed upon her. And so the emperor and the empress went to the patriarch at the time and asked that he remove the belt and place it upon her. And he took the belt out, and the second, the story goes, the second it was placed upon the Empress Zoe, she was healed. And as a result, they gave glory naturally to God, and they established a holiday, a feast day, this day, so that every year they would remember this miracle that took place. The question arises, why did Simon of Yerevan in the 18th century, why did he decide to bring this feast into the Armenian church? And I didn't say this in the Armenian, but in seminary, this question was given to us. And some of us thought he liked fashion. So that's why he wanted to have something about belts in the church calendar. He was a fashionable man, maybe. Had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with fashion. But in reality, it's not so much that the belt does something for us as what the belt teaches us. What is that belt? The belt, in a nutshell, is a relic. And when we hear this word relic, especially in English, we think of something old, something ancient, something that's out of its time and place and no longer has a purpose, but we hold on to it for some reason. Usually they belong in museums, behind glass. And so the belt is a relic. Relics are very important to Christians, especially those that belong to the ancient Orthodox churches, the apostolic churches. And today, as I said, some people view relics as historic artifacts, something that's just there, and it's nice to have. And we all have things like that from our family members. Sometimes they're pictures, if people take pictures anymore, print them. Most of them are on phones. But if you have pictures, you have pictures, you have clothing, you have these things that are relics of the past, relics of your family. But for the church and for Christians, relics possess something. They possess a sense of holiness and a sense of healing. Especially bones and objects of saints. They have this healing and holy power. And we see this in the gospel. In the gospel, we see when Christ is walking and the woman that has been bleeding for 12 years comes and doesn't touch him, but touches the edge of his garment, and she is healed. We also see in the Old Testament with Elisha, the prophet Elisha, where he is dead and they put him in the grave. And it says that the Moabites are passing by and one of their people are dead. So they throw this dead man into the grave of Elisha. And when he is thrown into the grave and touches the bones of Elisha, he comes back to life. We see this in the ancient church too. the ancient church, one of the earliest examples of worship in the ancient church, is veneration, is taking the bones of martyrs and holding them and respecting and honoring them. They are not worshipped, and this is a mistake and a misunderstanding by some Christians, that they think, oh, these ancient churches worship these bones. We don't worship anything other than Christ, God. But what we do is we venerate them. We hold them to a higher standard. These items of the saints are not the same as items that we have every day and that we have in our lives. And we have such items such as the cross and also the garments that Christ touched, but also the bones of the martyrs. Very often, unfortunately, in Europe especially, we see many relics in museums behind glass and are not used often. But in the Armenian church alone, if we look, they are used very, very often. In the Armenian church, for example, at the blessing of Mudon, the blessing of Holy Chrism, that oil that's blessed once every 7 years in Echmiadzin and in Antelias, what they do is they take the lance, the spear, which pierced Christ's side at the crucifixion, and they mix the old and the new Mudon. And then they take the right hand of St. Gregory and they bless it. It's not the bishop that blesses it. It's not the Catholicos that blesses it. It's not the people that bless it. It's the right hand of St. Gregory. St. Gregory, who's still with us, blesses that mural. In Jerusalem, if we go, many, many of the churches are built upon martyrs, the bones of martyrs. In Jerusalem alone, if we look at Saint James's Cathedral, it's built upon two saints. Two Jameses, James the Greater and James the Lesser. One whose entire body is underneath the altar in Jerusalem, and another one, a side altar, where just the head of another James is buried and built upon. And then even in our own church, as I said, we have a relic of the past, a relic of Christ. In this radiance, we have a piece of the tree to which Christ was tied to when he was on his last night, when he was betrayed. He was tied to a tree in Jerusalem and he was whipped and beat. And this is the tree, a piece of that tree that we have. One of our parishioners went to Jerusalem and brought it back for us. And so it's not just something pretty, but it's something that we use. And if you notice, on the night of the crucifixion, or the night of the betrayal of Christ, Holy Thursday, I bring this down, and we use this for services. And even the cathedral in New York City has a piece of the actual cross that Christ was crucified on. But we venerate these holy items. Not only this, but also in the church. We venerate the banner that we walk around with, the cross, the gospel, the priest's vestments. We use these and venerate these because they are different. They have different power. We hear this word power, and we think, oh, it's magical. There's no magic involved in any of this. There's no magic involved in healing. It's miracles that take place. Miracles and magic are two totally different things. Magic is something, I do something and it will happen. Miracles is just because God loves me, he heals me, and he helps me, and he gets me through. Now, we don't have enough bones of the saints to pass out to everyone to take home so that you have relics in your homes. But what we do have is another type of relic, moss, that bread that we pass out at the end of church. The word moss means part, portion. And the word for relic in Armenian, masum, also means a part or a portion of that saint that remains. And so they have the same root. And so what we do is we take a portion, a part of the Holy Eucharist, and we give it to the faithful to take home. And you take it home. Most people say, oh, I get more bread. I get to eat something now when I leave church. That's not what the moss. The moss is not supposed to be eaten by those who have received Holy Communion. Okay? Those who have received Holy Communion have already received the body and blood of Christ. Those who are supposed to receive the moss, the bread after church, are supposed to take it to those who have not come to church. whether it be they're working, they're sick, they're unable to attend, for whatever reason, they are given that mosque, and that mosque is taken to them to be part of the Patriarch still. And that's why the prayer that it says, may this be your portion and share of the holy offering. And the one who receives it responds by saying, may God be my portion forever. Because that is what they are receiving. They are receiving God, the power of God. And this is just a small relic that we take home, a piece of holiness, a piece of healing from the Holy Eucharist. So today, on the feast of the discovery of the belt of the Mother of God, I want us to remember that relics are not some historic artifact. They are not some ancient item that are supposed to be kept in a closet and brought out once every couple years. Okay? But they are supposed to be life-giving, life-changing, and life-transforming items that bring healing and holiness to this world. A remnant and a reminder of the past. A reminder that these saints have given their lives for Christ. A reminder of something that has touched Christ and is here with us today. And a piece and a part of the healing power of Christ in this very injured and suffering world that we live in. We need to see Christ in this world. One way is through relics, but another way is through each of us and showing each other that Christ is here with us.